And welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. Another gorgeous morning. And today, you know, I thought it would be a good idea to talk about relationships. I mean, after all, isn't that what really drives life? We live interdependent lives. You think about how, you know, during the course of any, on any given day, how much interaction we have with our fellow human beings. It's a pretty good amount. So I believe that the key to success is building those powerful relationships. So today's topic is going to be about how to build meaningful relationships. And joining us to discuss this is Jeff Riddle. He is known as a relationship strategist. That's exactly what I think we need. He's also the managing director of East Coast Operations, Retargeter, and the founder of thegivegive.com. His theme is define your life through the meaningful relationships you build with your family, friends, business associates, clients, and most importantly, yourself. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you, too. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I got my morning walk through Central Park in, and I'm roaring to go.
So your morning walk through Central Park, and have you already built some meaningful relationships?
Well, it's actually really funny. I was just writing my daily handwritten notes to some clients and some friends and just people that are meaningful to me. So those will be in the mail in about a half an hour, and we're done with the call.
So talk about a little this whole idea. You're referred to as, I'm not sure if by choice or not, but as a relationship strategist. What does a relationship strategist do?
That is by choice. I was working on this new idea, this new company, which ultimately turned into Riddle & Company, which is now a part of Retargeter. And people were constantly asking, like, what is it exactly that you do? And so over a lot of brainstorming, I finally came up with this idea of referring to this sort of work as relationship strategy. And this particular business was focused on working with businesses to help them invest in their relationships with clients. But the bigger idea is to look at life and look at our family, our friends, ourselves, and then specifically where I've done a lot of work with businesses on these relationships that are the thread. They're really the foundation of what we accomplish and what we want to do and how to invest in them successfully, thinking of it just like a financial advisor would invest resources of you know, assets of money, or a real estate agent might help invest in you know, hard assets like real estate. I want to look at how do we invest in our relationships to create the successes and the things in our lives that we want.
So let's talk about, we'll start with the business side too, because I've obviously the premise of this show is that we can learn from well-run, excellent companies. We could learn practices, techniques, things that they do habitually that lead to their success, and we can apply them to our own life. So let's start with what it is you do with your business clients to help them. Obviously, the goal is to help them become more profitable, to help them generate more revenue, et cetera, through these meaningful relationships. So it's like a means to an end. Talk a little bit about some of the ideas, strategies, concepts around that, and then maybe we could talk a little bit later in the show about how we can apply those in our own lives.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot in the business realm. And I'm just starting to learn how to make it more applicable and comprehensible for the personal side. So definitely happy to talk about that as well. On the professional side, we started Riddle & Company as a strategy firm. We did a lot of research with our clients where we'd actually go in, and what we wanted to understand was what was the value of a certain level of relationship. So what I mean by that is if we took every client interaction from pre-client, so when someone's advertising to you, to when you ultimately sign up to engage with the brand, whatever that might be, if it's buying a product or service, if it's joining a membership, whatever it might be, there's this sort of funnel of relationship. It's like the stronger the relationship gets, the more likely you are to engage with the business. And what we discovered was most companies were really good at starting with somebody who's never heard of them, doing lots of advertising, lots of marketing, building those relationships, with that brand and ultimately getting these clients to purchase their products or services. But it was at that point that most companies stopped engaging with the client. And I call it almost like it's like this purgatory that you get stuck in. So Verizon Wireless is my cell phone carrier. Well, now that I've engaged with them, when I bought my phone and my service, the salesperson, you know, built this relationship with me, made me feel really comfortable, really safe. And then now that I've signed up, he went from being my best friend to I've never heard from him again. And now if I want to leave, you know, if I want to get out of my contract, I should have to pay them, you know, $500 or $600. So they make it harder for me to leave. So it's just like purgatory where it's like they get me to a point where I'm willing to sign up and then they just forget about me and almost keep the reins on me so they can't leave. So my relationship actually decreases with the company over time.
Now, that sounds like the guy who sold me my life insurance policy many years ago, and he was really itching to get me to sign off on that $1 million policy. I think I went a little bit below that, but once I did, same thing. You know, he was my best friend on the pursuit, and then he just kind of dropped me once I signed on the dotted line. Now, here is a connection, though. So I'll do a little bit of the work to make the connection to our personal life, which, of course, again, is more of my focus. But there are connections here. So, for example, you know, think about it in a personal relationship, whether it's a friendship or something a little bit deeper. Let's say that, you know, there's a relationship that is, say, an intimate relationship where you have somebody, you know, pursuing you or you're pursuing someone else. And then let's say, okay, finally, you seal the deal. And the ultimate commitment, of course, is through marriage. Again, looking at the personal side. And then what happens? Don't we sometimes take, you know, once we've kind of, you know, we feel like, okay, now we're secure. We've made this commitment. We're going to honor this commitment. And doesn't that sometimes happen in our own lives where then all of a sudden, and maybe this happens over a period of time, but we begin to take that person for granted. We don't do the things we used to do to make sure that we are constantly checking in, making sure that we understand their needs, delivering on those needs, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so there's certainly one connection. I find that if we don't take care of our customers, and I'm using that word, that term very broadly, very loosely, you know, the customers in our lives, then what happens? Well, there's estrangement, or they ultimately, you know, they go away. They take their business somewhere else.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of parallels here. I'll kind of continue on some of these ideas that will also really give us some new ways to look at our personal lives and some of the ways that we engage relationships, because the findings that we found after we discovered the Verizon Wireless and the life insurance policy salesman was that...
We'll throw in some car salesmen, too.
Car salesmen. You know, but it's funny. It's like it's literally, and I don't want to be too extreme in this, but most businesses tend to kind of follow this format of sort of getting people to that point of purchase, and they kind of forget about it.
Hmm.
And what we discovered was when we did this data and this research. I know McKinsey is getting paid like $10 million to do the same research, so I think I did something wrong in my professional endeavors, but because we didn't get paid that to do it. But what we discovered was that the deeper relationships got with clients after they purchased, the more value they brought to the business in revenue numbers at an exponential rate. So in other words, and we'll use a really small business, for example, let's say you're a financial advisor and you have 100 clients. Probably roughly about 5%, so 5 of those people probably are accountable through referrals, retention, increased spending with your business and putting more assets into your management, probably account for 80% of your income. And it's really crazy when you start to track that. And so what we wanted to do and why we came up with this idea of relationship strategy is this was true not only for the small financial advisor, it's true all the way up to Verizon Wireless in a slightly different way, but basically for all intents and purposes, let's just call them the same.
Certainly true for my business, I can say that. Yeah, so that's it.
And it's true for everybody, right? Mm. But if you look at where companies invest their money and their assets, their resources, they invest them in the bottom of that. They invest them in people that don't know the business. And when they could, in fact, spend their energy investing on those people who already are clients, who are accounting for a lot of that revenue. And so we created a strategy which was, instead of trying to invest in the bottom, let's invest in the top. Let's invest in those clients and get more of our clients to become those, like, super advocates And then take those super advocates and be sure that we don't ignore them, that we actually show them that we care, we appreciate their effort. And what that actually does is we have this exponential increase already. We just accelerate this exponential increase even more. And then the ultimate kind of last piece of this is, so every day more content hits the market at an exponential rate. There's more and more stuff. And our brains are a finite organ. They can only handle so much information. And in the last 30 years of the technological revolution, we went from kids playing, you know, in the streets to kids, parents freaked out to let their kids go outside. And we live in gated communities. We have car ID, PO boxes, you know, tinted windows are on our cars. What we've done is essentially our brain is on overload, and our allostatic load, which is the stress load, has been exponentially increased as well. And so we're basically, the cortisol is being, you know, fired in our brain, and we're going to this like cocooning effect. And what that's doing is essentially making it harder for marketers to reach the audience anyway.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when that phone rings, you know, now, years ago, right, you would always pick up the phone. And I'm going back to the old days where, you know, you didn't have the answering machines, right?
Sure.
And you didn't want to miss that call because it could be the really important call. And then you pick it up and you find out it was some telemarketer. Now, of course, we can screen that out. And now, of course, we have a voice that will announce who is calling. You don't even have to get up off the couch. So you're right. We've got these filters. We've got the filters on our computers. And actually, that leads me to a question, because we're here talking about how to build meaningful relationships. And in order to do that, we have to be able to connect with people before we can even begin to communicate and build those relationships. And it's increasingly difficult to connect on both the professional and the personal side. What I'm finding, and I work with my business contacts, they tell me they get literally, I'm not exaggerating, 200 to 300 to 500 emails per day. And unless you, what I'm told, unless you put something really compelling, because they're also reading this on the mobile, right? Device versus the big screen where you can see maybe 15, 20 emails at a time. And they're just scrolling down very quickly, seeing what kind of captures their eyes. So what about that? How do we possibly connect with people, very busy people especially, with limited attention spans? How do we achieve this?
Well, so this is the one of the big theories here, and this is something I think is applicable, and I use it in my personal life. I use it with myself. So this is, I think, a great connection into sort of the personal side. I don't ever outreach to people cold, ever. I run everything I do in every one of the businesses I work with, and even Retargeter, which is an ad tech company, they acquired my company because they said this is a commoditized market that we're in, and we want to be a value-based service, and we want to be sure that we can give our clients the ultimate experience at every level, from before to the middle when they sign up with us to afterwards, not just through our service and through our, you know, what we're returning, but through every interaction. And so what I've discovered is, I can get to anybody. I can get to any executive. I can get to anybody, which I do, and it's incredible the network that I've been able to build. But I don't do it by trying to go out there and spray a shotgun. I do it because I build deep, meaningful connections with people who then have access to those people, and they're happy to make those introductions. And when Mary, who's the CEO of XYZ Company, gets an email from John, who's her, you know, old friend from XYZ Company, saying, hey, Mary, you should really meet this guy, Jeff. He's great. He cares. You know, and basically, John is selling Mary for me. So when I walk in the door, Mary already has a level of trust, a level of perceived credibility. There's already a personal element to it. And so I can actually meet Mary, and I can meet her in an informal setting where there's so much more value to our connection. And I believe, Scott, you and I met the same way.
Now, is this the same idea through LinkedIn, and which was, again, more for the business professional than, of course, Facebook, designed more for the personal? Same idea?
It's different because the social networks, again, LinkedIn, everybody I come in contact with, even if I have an email exchange, they want to add me on LinkedIn. And so the value of those connections is decreasing every single day. And that's true with all technological mediums. We forget that these are just tools. They're not relationships. The relationship is this, you know, biological billion-year-old thing, and you can't like take technology and then say this is a relationship. You know, technology is just a tool that helps us build the relationship, but we've gotten so sidetracked thinking that these are relationships that are somehow going to help us, you know, move forward. And that's why people constantly are struggling. Like GM just pulled out their advertising from Facebook. There's a reason why, because it's just a tool. It's just a hammer. It's no different than a drill. Why should we use the hammer when I already have access to people I need to talk to? Why should I go on LinkedIn and communicate with them that way when I can call them on the phone? There's a disconnect there. So there's a lot of stuff that we've done, a methodology around that as well that helps these businesses just, you know, understand how to use social media, if it's even valuable to them or not. But I had, you know, thousands of friends on Facebook. Many of them very successful entrepreneurs, but I just couldn't handle anymore. This is stupid. I have too many close friends that I'm neglecting because I'm getting so, you know, involved in this. So I deactivated the account. And LinkedIn, I don't even use. Pardon me. People add me, and I probably have, you know,
I think people will be in shock hearing that, because it seems like now the swarms are going to LinkedIn, are going to Facebook, are going, getting Twitter accounts. They've got all kinds of followers, and in many ways, it's a, you know, it's somewhat of a measure of success depending on what your business might be. But because I was just going to ask you about that, you know, for your opinion on, for instance, Facebook and the value, if at all, it has in, again, your role as a relationship strategist, the value in it that it has or does not have in building meaningful relationships. Your thoughts on that, and then we'll take a break.
Absolutely. I always ask people when they say, now I have, I had a part of my company, we did social media for Fortune 100 companies. So I understand this stuff, and I think it's something that the reason we got these deals is I went at it and said, here's what your brain does. Here's what the dopamine does. This is what serotonin, oxytocin does. See, social media has value for Coke because for the first time in history, Coke can scale the human interactions they have with people. When Coke says, at Jeff Riddle, thanks so much for talking about Coke, I actually get a chemical reaction, a reward trigger in my brain because it was a human interaction. Now, for Coke, that makes sense. But for most businesses, when you can pick up the phone or you can send an email or a handwritten note, there are other ways you can do that to create much stronger interactions with people. It's not that valuable. So the question I always ask is, you know, people say, well, should I use LinkedIn or Facebook? I said, look, you're talking about a hammer. Do you know how to build the house? You know, have you figured out the architecture of the house? Have you figured out what kind of relationship you need to build to be successful? And then once you decide what that is, then you can choose the right tool.
Got it. Makes perfect sense. Time for a break. You're listening to the Business of Living show, and we're speaking with Jeff Riddle. He's a relationship strategist, managing director of East Coast Operations for Retargeter, and also the founder of thegivegive.com. We'll want to hear more about that. Today's topic is on how to build meaningful relationships. We'll be right back here in a moment on 1490 WGCH.
This is Carl White from Greenwich Library. If you're looking for something new and different to read, then Greenwich Library is the place to go. Under New and Recommended on our website, the library has links to several different readers' advisory tools. Award Winners provides the names of award-winning books, films, and music. You'll find National Book Award, Nobel Prize in Literature, and Pulitzer Prize winners. Just Arrived lists new books which have just been added to the collection. Reading Resources provides book reviews from such tools as the New York Times, Novelist, and Book Page. Our Staff Picks page has reviews prepared by our very own staff. If this weren't enough, there are extensive reviews by title on ebooks under our downloadable book section. We're sure you'll find something interesting to read at Greenwich Library. Stop by today. This is Carl White on 1490 WGCH.
Welcome back to the Business of Living show. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. We're speaking with Jeff Riddle, relationship strategist, also managing director for the East Coast Operations Retargeter and the founder of thegivegive.com. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about some of these concepts and how they could be applied to, outside of the workplace for developing more meaningful interpersonal relationships. We've got a lot of people in different situations, people who are looking to get into a relationship, people who have maybe gone through revolving doors of relationships and so on and so forth. So what are some ideas that we can draw from, you know, your experience in the business realm and bring into that, you know, that personal side of life?
Absolutely. So the big theory, and, you know, we talk about a lot of different things, and this is relationships are one of the most complicated elements of life. There's just so much research, and I will be working on this for the rest of my life, and it will never be complete. But the big, big theory we've come up with that it seems to work really well is that for businesses, the deeper they go with people, the more value they create holistically across the board. And that, especially in light of the changing times, seems to be so important for businesses, and it's very much a neglected space. And I truly believe that that theory is applicable. Just like you look at business concepts and apply those to personalized, you know, across the board, I really think that theory is applicable everywhere else as well. And so on a personal side, you know, everybody says to me, wow, Jeff, you have such an incredible network. Like, you know, I got to go see Obama on Monday night because a friend who happened to have connections into the campaign was able to get me in. Now, that happens because, not because I know everybody, but people think that. It's because I choose to connect and go really deep with a smaller group of people because that's what I can manage. And subsequently what happens is, you know, let's say I have 100 pretty close friends and people I constantly stay up with, those 100 people are out there connecting with thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And it's incredible what having such a deep connection with them will create, and it allows me to get access to anything that I need because they feel so safe, so good about engaging me or bringing me into the fold, into their lives, because we have such a deep connection. So I think it's super applicable for friends. And then even more importantly, I think it's really, really important for ourselves.
Now, I think that this is really interesting because I started Facebook a few years ago, and I think I've got a grand total of maybe 28 friends. and my kids were making fun of me because, oh, Dad, that, you know, that's all you've got? You know, I've got like 500, says my daughter. And then even business acquaintances who have 1,000, you know, 1,500. I'm thinking, how can you know so many people? How do you keep, you know, maintain those friendships and the relationships? And it makes me think of a term. It's known as the Pareto principle. Some people incorrectly refer to this or think of this as the 80-20 rule. But essentially, Vilfredo Pareto was an Italian economist that was studying the distribution of wealth in Italian countryside and noticed that a relatively few contributors made up for the bulk sum of some, you know, net effect, if you can follow that. The idea is that, more or less what you just said, is that it's not the quantity. It's sometimes the relatively few contributors, in this case it would be a relatively few friends, represent the bulk of the, you know, those broader contexts, the broader network, et cetera. So I find that very interesting. Just like in business, we know that a relatively few customers, maybe 10, 15%, represent 85, 90% of our revenue. So what about those people who use, you know, online dating, or they're trying to use, you know, Facebook to you know, to try to connect with somebody to develop a meaningful relationship? What advice would you give them? We still have a few more minutes, so I'd like to just tap into your brain power on that.
Sure. I'm going to steer this kind of in a different way, probably not the response most are looking for. I truly believe that the breakdown in dating, so let's actually back a second. Online dating as a business is snake oil. And the reason it's snake oil is their incentives are not aligned with their clients. There's a software as a service. Basically, they get paid monthly. So every month people are engaged with their site, they make money. So it's not in their best interest to get people off. If they were truly aligned with their clients, they would have a fixed fee, and you'd get, you know, I don't even know what the exact proper business model should be, but it should be some sort of fixed fee, or you don't pay until you meet that person, or something silly. I'm just spitballing right now. But it's not aligned. So I already, right off the gate, think that online dating is just a flawed business model that doesn't provide value in that way. On top of that, we get so caught up in the details of, well, he didn't call me back, or she did this, or, you know, he did what. And the thing is, at the end of the day, everything, if we look at our brain and how we function in the world, everything comes back to us. And if we don't work on ourselves first, we can never be in a relationship. And so what people do is they get in these patterns where the same thing happens every single time. And if they really were honest with themselves, they notice that. So the problem is not online dating. The problem is that people are not looking internally for the answer. And so we're trying to find fulfillment through others, and that's where the breakdown really happens. So when it comes to relationships, especially intimacy, I think the most intimate relationship and the real success starts with ourselves.
That is a very profound concept. And so what you're suggesting is that, hey, again, this is a tool, you know, the online dating, the Facebook, if you want to try to meet someone special. It is a tool, but really what you're suggesting is, hey, square one, you know, take a good, deep, introspective look into yourself. Is this a principle you personally have applied? I'm assuming so.
Absolutely. I mean, I will say this often. And I'll be the first to say that I've done it. I've been working on this for 20 years. I mean, I got into relationship business strategy because I was so passionate about learning about relationships with intimate partners, because we go to school for 20 years to get a job we probably stick with for two. Yet we don't learn anything about how to be in an intimate relationship and a partnership with somebody at that level. And so I've really studied it for years. And at 29 years old, when I was on a private boat going to a private island with 1,000 beautiful people, I was celibate. And I chose that route because I noticed those patterns as well, and I needed to make a change. I needed to do something different and provide the freedom from that sexual energy to really understand who I am, what are my needs, what does it mean to be in a partnership, so that I could ultimately come back into the world and engage in a new way. And it paid off. I met the love of my life, and I mean, within weeks of choosing to no longer be celibate. So it was really an intense, crazy experience, but I really, really encourage that personal development, whatever that might look like.
Well, Jeff, that is incredible advice. It must have been very difficult. Ladies and gentlemen, I've met Jeff. He looks like a guy that would, you know, be on the front of the GQ magazine. So I'm sure you really didn't have too much trouble in that department. But we've got just about a minute to go. But, Jeff, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I want to also mention to a listening audience that Jeff was a former MVP catcher for the University of California, San Diego. He also started a rock band. You toured the country, you played the guitar, flute, you sang backup vox for a few years, after college. You got into the real estate. So is this just a continuous journey for you, and just in terms of your interests, your passions, and the pursuit of such?
Absolutely. I think, this is a very personal thing for me. I just was taught at a really early age for my family to just, you know, really live life at the fullest, and I interpreted that as just personal development. I really, speaking of the celibacy, it was just a normal thing for me to do, even though it shocked a lot of people. But I just, every step of the way, I've wanted to invest in myself, really learn who I am, learn how I can contribute to the world, and constantly engage that so that I could not only impact myself and have a really meaningful life, but then I would have the energy, the ability, the skill to impact others. And that's fortunately paid off.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Really appreciate it. You've been listening to the Business of Living show. This is Scott Ventrella, and we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Remember, you only have one life. Make sure that you live it intentionally. See you next week, 1490 WGCH.